Hello and welcome to another episode of I'm on My Period Piece. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we are the Sherman Sisters. I'm on My Period Piece, if you're just joining us, is the podcast where we talk about costume dramas and the ladies and gents that inhabit them. Mostly the ladies, their cheekbones, their costumes.
The costumes, the veracity of the story in relation to the time period in which it inhabits.
Correct.
And also a whole bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, just a bunch of stuff about our day.
Just a metric ton of bullshit.
Bunch of stuff about the first time we saw the movie.
All that personal memories, my feelings. Musings, really.
It's great.
It's great.
But before we jump into our episode for today, bitch, what you been up to? Let's sync up.
Let's sync up. You've been very much apprised of all of this, but pretending that you weren't, Craig and I are in the process of trying to adopt a dog, Craig here being my husband.
Here.
In this specific context, he is my husband. We are looking at a pug mix. He's super cute. The shelter seems to think his name is Caesar. They are incorrect. His name is probably Hoagie.
I love that.
It's a good name, because we were going to adopt a dog named Po' Boy. His name was Po', but we were going to call him Po' Boy, and then a friend of ours ended up getting it. So I think we're keeping up with the sandwich trend. The weird thing about that is that, like, in Texas, literally no one calls them Hoagies. Have you ever met anyone who's like, let me go order a Hoagie?
No, I never have.
It's not a thing.
No, but, you know, like, that's just a regional thing.
It's a regional thing. But what do we call them? We call them, like, Subway sandwich?
We call them, like, a sub, yeah.
Like a sandwich.
Yeah.
Sandwich.
I mean, you and I more accurately call them
Jimmy John's.
A Jimmy John's.
Yeah, just go get a Jage.
Or a Jaime Juan.
Mm-hmm. Jaime Juan. Tomorrow I will have completed my first full week of work in like 2 weeks. Because last week we had this like insane thing. And without getting too much into it because it's sad, like we thought our childhood dog was going to die. Mm. So we went back to the woodlands for a couple days and like sobbed into his fur and we're like,
and like begged him to live.
And then he was like, I hear you and I'm going to do it, which has been just an emotional roller coaster tycoon. And
I'm still like afraid to hope, but like I think he's getting stronger every day. And like, I do feel like that maybe seeing his people just kind of like helped him.
Yeah. He's a very good dog. Just to talk about him very briefly, his name is Dudley Baxter Buttersworth Sherman, the first Esquire of Freedom Cage Estates.
Correct.
That's his name. My parents gave him to me for Christmas when I was 15.
Mm-hmm. 2006.
And, yeah, 2006. Don't do the math. He's just been a great dog. And, you know, here's hoping he keeps at it. But shit's been pretty good for me otherwise. I've been getting over a cold, but I've been, like, sleeping so much that I, like, wake up with a smile. I think the thing is, if you actually get your full 8 hours of sleep, you wake up, like, ear-to-ear smiles.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's the craziest thing. I had no idea what was going to affect my mood that much.
I mean, there's genuinely nothing better.
I wake up and it's like, there's so much beauty in the world. Like, I watched the light come through my curtains and I was like, wow, huh, wow.
And I birds chirping outside.
I owe it all to NyQuil. It's an amazing thing. How are you?
I am doing just fantastic. As we speak, I am sitting on my brand new king size bed.
I've never been so excited for something for another person than you getting this bed.
I mean, to tell you, girl.
Can we do an unpaid advertisement right
now?
Sure. For Lisa with two E's and no I's mattresses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hashtag I paid for this.
We both paid for this. Did you do the payment plan?
No, we just bought it.
Can't beat it though. No interest. We just paid it off like $100 a month for
months.
Yeah. They're so comfortable and it's like they have some sort of thing with like every 10 mattresses ordered, they give a mattress to like a shelter for the homeless or something
Do they also like plant a tree or something? Was that them? There's some mattress company.
It wouldn't shock me because I just believe only good things about this mattress company. So comfortable.
But like, so we had a queen size bed. It was the bed that I bought when I first moved to Austin. So before my husband and I got married or even were dating.
It was like a Couchtown couch.
It is the worst.
It was designed to torture and to extract information from you.
So did you go shopping with me the day that I picked out my mattress?
Yeah, because it felt great, and then it lied to us. And it was like, oh, it'll feel better in 2 weeks, and it never felt better.
Right. I like, the day that they delivered the mattress to me, I was convinced that there had been some mix-up at the warehouse and that they sent me the wrong one.
You got to listen to your female intuition.
And I said something to the delivery guy. I was like, this doesn't feel like the mattress I felt in the store. And he's like, well, you know, you just got to, like, break it in and, like, jump on it and stuff. Like, I remember, like, Googling, like, how to make a mattress feel better.
That thing, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I guess we're just going to edit that part out later.
Yeah.
It's, we both like laughed and then couldn't hear ourselves anymore.
Well, like GarageBand was
edit,
like.
Edit, and then you'll be able to find it later. Edit. Okay.
I'm not going to.
I think like you're putting up with that mattress for 5 years?
Mm-hmm. Was it more than 7 years?
7 years. Mm-hmm. That is like the power of like a Protestant woman just like grinning and bearing,
gritting her teeth,
lying back, thinking of England. Like for 7 years, you kept thinking like maybe it'll get better.
And girl, let me tell you,
it never did.
It never got better.
I stayed over when Parker was out of town like a few months ago and I was like, I am in hell.
It's the worst. And you know, the worst thing about it is that as it aged, there were like times where you could like, well, I guess. At all times. You could lay down on it and like feel two distinct indentations, like where Parker was and where I was. And it's just ridiculous. And just hard. And anyways, I was like ready to get it gone. We our Lisa mattress came in last week. The bed frame itself did not come in until yesterday. So I was like, it is on. I'm ready to like get this old. You good pouring over there?
Does it sound?
I can't tell.
Like it's drink Foley again.
But so I was like just super ready to have our old bed out of our room. And just, I was like, I'm ready for the new one like tonight. And so Parker was like, well, you know, we can disassemble the bed, but the mattress is a problem. And he's like, put it on Craigslist for free. Someone will come get it. And I was like, no one's going to want a 7-year-old used
that mattress. It's
torture hurt. Mattress.
It genuinely, it hurts my feelings. It puts me in an awkward position. It says racial epithets. Like that terrible. Mattress is not one redeeming quality.
No, it's a terrible mattress, but literally I put it on Craigslist. I like in the free section, I was like free queen size mattress. I said it's like in decent condition or whatever, And I had like 7 people reach out to me wanting this
mattress. People are desperate. There's like 10,000 people a day moving to Austin. And I think that's a like a conservative estimate.
So someone, and I basically was like, whoever can come get it first.
Yeah.
Like, so I put it up at like 2:15 and someone was getting it at 5:00.
I just hate that mattress. And I just want to drive that home a little more. That mattress, like in my mind, it's like wearing one of those bubble shirts from 2000. That mattress was like written by Joss Whedon and like directed by Michael Bay.
Oh, that, like still wears like weird pants with like weird seams in weird places.
Right. That mattress is like hashtag Blue Lives Matter. That mattress like.
That hashtag, or sorry, that mattress wears white or like multicolored running sneakers with bootcut jeans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it wears a team building t-shirt from their husband's like old company. That mattress has been trying to sell me Plexus for 5 months. I hate that mattress. I hate it so much. I'm like, we record in Lindsay's bedroom and the vibe in here is just so much better. So shout outs to Lisa. If you want to give us money, we'll just shill
for you.
Any other like mattress company, we'll just say the worst things about them and we'll do it with a smile on our face.
You know what, Casper mattresses? Whatever.
I just think one of those things about being a millennial is, apart from being awesome and then constantly being shit on by your parents' generation.
Correct, yeah.
Is like, we do come up
and
with...
And more specifically, your aunt and uncle's generation.
Yeah.
Like, most of these people are writing think pieces about millennials are Gen X.
They're barely older. They're like the people who like gave us the movie Reality Bites, which is like, I don't really want to work. And it's like, well, you have to.
Right.
Winona, you have to.
Right.
Stupid assholes.
Wino forever.
Classic. We come up with cool things, and like this whole delivering the mattress directly to your house thing is so smart, because have you ever like gone into a mattress store and felt good about your life afterwards?
No,
and you
like,
don't.
Let me ask you, why are there so many of them? Like, have you ever stopped to notice that?
It's a harbinger of like a place you don't want to live anymore.
No, so I guarantee have, like, you. That's the craziest thing. They're everywhere. Like if you start looking for them, when we lived in Rosedale, there were like two that we could have like literally like spit and hit him.
A racket too, just a racket.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's just so many of them. It's crazy.
All this is like in. We, the older we get, the more boring we get because we've just been talking about mattresses for like 10 minutes.
Like literally 5 minutes.
It's like, yeah. Fine. It's fine. It's fine. Let's talk about Chicago.
Yeah. So the movie that we chose for this week.
And just as a reminder, the series this summer is Summertime and the Streaming is Easy. So True. Everything that we are covering is going to be on Netflix or Hulu, or I would say even if we're reaching HBO or Amazon. But we want to make it super easy for you. And
to watch along.
Like if you don't have that account, you totally have a friend who has that account.
And
right.
If you don't have that account, then you need to talk to your friends about why they suck so bad.
Right. Because it's honestly just a coordinated effort. One friend takes the Netflix, one friend takes the Hulu.
Right.
And your parents take the HBO because no one has cable except for Lindsay.
We actually have cable. And I've thought several times about being like, we should be cord cutters again. Like, because I was when I lived alone. But Parker was like, and this is so true. He was like, when you have a young child, having cable is like a great way to ensure that your friends will still come over to see you.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that so true? Because they do. Like, people are like, oh, I can watch Game of Thrones as it's happening and not have to wait for it to be on HBO Go. Or I can watch Drag Race as it's on instead of watching on the Sling.
Glad you married him. He's pretty smart.
Yeah, he's on to something.
So this week we covered Chicago, the 2002 Oscar-winning musical.
Correct.
Starring Ms. Catherine Zeta-Jones as Velma Kelly.
Ms. Renee Zellweger as Roxy Hart.
And Mr. Richard Gere as Billy Flynn.
And also Queen Latifah.
As Matron Mama Morton.
Yes. She's so great in this movie.
I like, so many of my notes were like, oh my God, I love Queen Latifah.
She's actually like such a good actress.
She's such a good actress and she's such a good singer and she's such a good rapper.
Yes.
And if you haven't, like, before we even get into the meat of this movie, if you haven't gone to watch, and it needs to be the unedited version because for whatever reason they bleep out the word bitch, which is so stupid, but you need to go watch the video for UNITY.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the Queen Latifah. And 25 years ago, she had like a Call on the Girls Together song, and it was like, UNITY, UNITY, that spells UNITY. And then the beginning is, who you calling a bitch? And
girl,
it's about like dudes catcalling her and her being like, I'm not putting up with this anymore.
God,
25 years ago.
I love her.
And I love Queen Latifah.
She really like doesn't age.
No, she doesn't. And actually, we need to add this to the list because Nicole's talked about this. She plays, I want to say, Bessie Smith.
Bessie.
That's embarrassing.
Oh gosh, no! It's like
the woman who did the paper bag test, but in reverse.
Yes. Hold on. Let me.
That's. I really hate myself for not knowing, and that's ignorant. That's ignorant of me.
Yeah, it is Bessie Smith. You were right.
Oh, never mind. I walk it all back.
Oh, I've just heard her. Yeah, I've just heard Bessie.
But I've heard really good things about that. We need to watch that.
Yes, I have heard that. And I've also heard that Living Single is what we need to watch.
Oh, yes. And forgive my cough a little bit. I'm getting over kind of a cold, but
it's whatever.
Yeah. And yeah, I would love to watch Living Single. Anyway.
So Chicago, right as I started, the opening credits started, I just wrote down "bleh" right from the start. I'm remembering how much I love this movie.
It's so good, so good. You know what? For like, it should have more drama, but I actually like. I keep a Wonderlist list of movies called No Worries movies, and this would fall under it because, like, I guess I've maybe seen it so many times that I don't even stress about anything. I'm like, I know she'll be fine. She'll get off. It's like, whatever.
Right. The only thing that's like a little bit sad, well, other than like Amos's whole existence.
Ekaterina?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not right.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's not right.
The Hungarian girl.
Well, but like, yeah, miscarriage of justice is no surprise.
Correct. Yeah. That's just life.
Abuse of power comes as no surprise. Okay.
Right.
Okay. You were so good at like leading the plot, so I'm just gonna like let you get into this.
So the movie starts with basically Roxy Hart is watching Velma Kelly perform at this venue, and at the beginning, Catherine Zeta-Jones' character, Velma Kelly, runs in late. She and her sister perform together, the Kelly sisters, and she runs in late, hides a gun in a drawer, and starts washing blood off of her hands. And she's like, my sister's not coming. I can do the show alone. It's fine. And so Renee Zellweger is in this crowd, honey, and she is working those finger waves
Yeah, she looks great. Bitch. The whole movie, she looks great.
That haircut.
And the first time I saw Catherine Zeta in this, I like gasped because she hasn't aged either.
Girl,
it's a timeless.
As we were watching this movie, I texted Molly. I was 30 minutes into it before I just like had to get this out of me. I said, Catherine Zeta-Jones, bring it to you every ball.
Every ball.
Why y'all gagging though?
She is like just genuinely like she's been through the red tape. She's filled out all the forms. She is a certified hottie.
And she also just was like really like she was clearly giving this character in this role like her.
She's
all.
A threat, man. She's got the singing, the dancing, the acting, and she like the she has a few line deliveries that are so good that I'm like, you stole the show.
Yeah, and like the smolder. Just the smolder. So much smolder.
The hair. Okay, just keep going.
Anyway, so then I noticed that Dominic West's ass in this movie again, too, as he was in...
Once again, a philanderer.
Mona Lisa Smile. He was just in it last week.
I just see him and I'm like, don't trust him.
Mm-mm, girl, get away from him.
Okay, so Catherine Zeta starts singing All That Jazz, which
yes.
always, like, that is like my turn up.
It's a great song.
It's a turn.
I still, there's one line in it that like baffles me.
Was it, I bought some aspirin at United Drug?
No.
Because I put that down.
It's Rouge My Knees.
Yeah, that What's one's that a about? Weird one. I'm on a rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. Actually, I think I know what it means now that I'm saying it.
What?
If she's rolling her stockings down and rouging her knees, like what activity would one's knees be red for?
No, I just think that I thought that was like, not from doing a thing. I thought she was literally like applying rouge to her knees.
Maybe it could be anything, and I think that warrants more investigation.
Yeah, we need to do some research.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Dominic West comes in. Roxy is clearly hooking up with him. So as All That Jazz is playing, there's like they do a lot of these like interspersed cutscenes.
And actually, that movie, like we'll talk about this later, but it swept the Oscars.
Yeah.
And one of the most deserved ones because it won. Pardon me. Oh my gosh. It won 6. It was in the year 2002.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that was, like, such a no-brainer was for editing.
Oh, it was so great. Such good editing.
Because they took, like, you know, a Broadway musical, it's, like, 3 hours. Like,
Oh, my gosh.
They put it into, like...
2.5, or, like, just...
Not even...
Right at 2, I think.
It was maybe even a little under 2. And in no part did I feel like anything's were, like... sacrificed like
no.
it worked perfect. You had the song.
I do have
missed.
A song
yeah.
that they
yeah.
missed, but which I say this as somebody who's never seen an actual stage production of Chicago. I just had the soundtrack, and there's a song called Class, which is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Jinx Monsoon sang it at Drag Race All Stars.
Shouts out to Jinx Monsoon for having the most unique post Drag Race music career.
No joke. The inevitable album.
She put out a cabaret album.
So good.
And she has a song called, I think it's No One More Sorry, and it's really good.
I just really do like her.
I do like her. Yeah.
And sorry to get off on a tangent, but that article from or that like letter from Alaska to
was
the
great.
New winner.
I love
was
Lasky.
So great because I was like, you know, sometimes I feel like Lasky should have won season 5, but then I'm like, no, she kind of did by virtue of like just getting the exposure. Like even the
winner
losers
isn't
win.
Always the winner. You know what I mean?
Well, I've heard people say like even the losers win that show because
yeah.
they get exposure.
Yeah. Well, you're not gonna leave the house and go to oil cans for some like
for like a local queen necessarily.
Well, I will
if it's the certain ones.
Certain ones, but like, yeah, it's, you know, if I'm like, oh, Ben de la Creme is coming through, I might be more willing to like, you know, drink a Red Bull and go out.
Totally. Take a disco nap at like 4 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah,
totally.
All that to say, back to non-drag.
It's
going to
take a while.
So she clearly like, Roxy is having an affair with this guy. His name is Fred Casely, it turns out. Dominic West and her, this is the dude, they're like making out on the staircase, whatever.
Steamy affair.
And then her
neighbor sees her and she's like, he's my brother, which is so yucky, but so classic.
She's so great, yeah.
Right.
So then they show, and I thought it was, I guess it's like a few weeks later, another like... you know, post Doinkin moment. Mm-hmm. And she
a post-coital moment. And
she is wearing this negligee, honey.
She looks great.
And she's looking for some promotional consideration in this negligee. She's like, talk to me about your friend who owns the club. And I just wrote down also.
She's networking in the negligee.
Trust. I also wrote down 1920s lingerie is so gorgeous. And
so good.
Like,
that's why I love the Moulin Rouge video, even though it's supposed to be like they're referencing a movie that takes place in like the Fin de Siècle, but like Little Kim's lingerie in that.
So great.
Oh, my God.
Well, like, Yeah, I love lingerie. Anyways, so Fred Casely is like, wake up, kiddo, you ain't never gonna have an act.
You aren't ever.
I wrote Baby JJ vibes. Yeah.
You aren't ever gonna headline the show, and you aren't ever gonna feature in it either.
So then he tells her, you're a two-bit talent with skinny legs, and I just wrote,
I should be so lucky to get the latter half of that compliment, literally ever.
I said, as a thick trunk girl, I do not understand why someone this would insult
thick
someone.
Pins.
Sturdy stems. So then she kills him. Oops.
Yeah.
She gets mad and just like shoots him.
Well, if someone ever told me I had thin legs, I'd be like, well, you're a liar and you need to exit this earth.
You're a liar, liar, liar.
Liar. Man, underrated Cranberry song. Liar, liar, liar.
Even the most highly rated Cranberry song is underrated, TBH.
Wow. Preach it like you teach it. That's so true.
So the cops are over at their house and they're like, wow, killing to confession in 1 hour. That's a new record. And that's because her husband, Amos, played by John C. Reilly, is...
played perfectly by John C. Reilly.
So perfectly, is covering for Roxy.
Yeah.
Do you know that I saw John C. Reilly at South By a few years back?
How did you feel about it? Like, was the room feeling a little more electric with him there? Or did you feel more calm?
Well, he was playing.
He's playing.
Okay, do you know...
I know he's a musician.
He's like a folk musician, and he was on Jack White's label.
Yes. Well, he and Jack White were both in Walk Hard.
Oh, true. Okay, which was, is that like, where they connected, you think?
Yeah, it was like a riff on, you know, like the
Walk the Line.
But he had a few songs on that soundtrack that were pretty good. One was called like Royal Jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great. I mean, it was a really good show.
I like him a lot. He is such an endearing person.
He has a lot of like pathos.
Yeah, it's like, what have you saw, like, if you showed me in a textbook a picture of like this,
a sad
this
clown.
Like sharecropper John C. Reilly, I'd be like, ugh, thank God we're all more attractive now. But like there's something about him on screen that's a little bit magnetic, and I like him a lot. And I think a lot of that actually comes from, and don't judge me for this until you've watched it, we need to talk about Kevin.
I've never seen it.
It's so sad. But he plays the dad in it. And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, if Tilda Swinton is like meeting this guy and falling in love with him, like, I get it. All this to say, he plays Amos, and it was kind of the role he was born to play.
Yeah, totally. Just like this sad, like,
sad sack, but doofus. Like, but he plays it with a little bit of like, I'm in on the joke.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, Roxy starts singing Funny Honey. Which,
oh, the editing in that one.
Honey.
Oh, yeah. You mean she was two-timing me? She's at home sitting, eating bonbons while I'm working 19-hour days.
Oh, it's so sad. So she's like, it starts with like her being like, oh, he's so loyal to me. He's so sweet to me. And then basically he finds out that it was Fred Casely that was killed. And he's like, wait a second.
She has a great line in that song, which is, if he had one more brain, he'd be a halfwit.
She says, with just one more brain, what a halfwit he'd be. I wrote it down too. And then also the cop says, from what I hear, he has been burgling you 3 times a week for a month.
That same cop had, I wrote this down because it was such a good line and I would like to work it into my day-to-day more. He goes, take a Dom-Tom.
Dom-Tom.
Like, when you arrest people, if I were a cop, which I never would be,
Just remove the W's from the word downtown.
I would just, no matter who I booked, I'd be like, take them downtown.
Parker and I watched an episode of House Hunters like years ago with this girl that she and her husband were looking for a house in Austin. And
y'all still do this.
We still talk about it. She was like a singer. She was trying to get her singing career off the ground.
Hey, you and everyone else shug.
And she's like, just, they were like, the kind of couple that was like, I gotta have a place for my toys. Gotta have a man cave.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
And she kept saying, I mean, really wanna live downtown.
Downtown.
And also, like, hardly anyone lives downtown.
No one, like, our friend Ingrid lived downtown, and that was really convenient for a spell in our lives. But, like.
But this couple was looking for a house downtown.
No, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. You can live on, like, the one house on Rainy Street that's still holding out, but that's just, like, that's a bad idea.
Barely downtown. That's, like, the edge of downtown.
It's like, right on the freeway.
Anyway.
There's no houses downtown.
But
that's stupid as hell.
Anyways, also, nobody of their age lives downtown.
Downtown!
So anyways, Then they Roxy gets taken to prison or to jail.
She goes downtown.
Downtown.
Also, and in that scene, I did notice that she has the most muscular back I've ever seen.
Girl, I've noticed it several times in this movie. I was like, her body fat percentage
is she's like a reptile.
Is like sub 5%.
Yeah, it's great.
So then.
Not great. I mean, whatever. But
yeah.
She looks great.
She does. So then they introduce Matron Mama Morton.
Okay, this is my, like, and I asked this of a friend yesterday. Like what your favorite and least favorite song is from Chicago. And my favorite, hands down is When You're Good to Mama. It's my karaoke staple.
It's a great song.
And I'd forgotten about this, but there, like if you went to my Facebook now, you could find photos of me from my senior year of high school wearing a Jenny Lewis t-shirt, like standing on the tables in my newspaper class singing When You're Good to Mama.
Oh, so this has been your thing for
this
a
has been time. My, and I'd forgotten, like I'd blocked that out, but it's been my thing for like 10 years
I'm
plus.
Here for it.
Yeah.
I used to take voice lessons when I was in high school.
Me too. It didn't stick.
And Molly mentioned earlier, she like with a smile, she was like,
it was more of a smirk.
I'm going to bring this up. And I was like, I'm going to do it first. I'm going to take this thing out. I used to take voice lessons with this really, really sweet lady named Carol. And, it was actually like my fave thing ever. Like I used to, I really like, it feels good to sing. It's like a therapy session.
She used to have me sing Regina Spektor's, Us. With her, and it was the only one I could ever like successfully execute on.
It's like such a good feeling. But when Chicago came out, I was, as every person who is into like singing, I was like very.
It's still, if you play that around like your more theatrical friends, it's a guaranteed turn up.
Oh, I remember like
before. It's such a solid soundtrack.
Yeah, before I even saw it, I was like, what's it about with Courtney? Because we were in PE together.
And Courtney!
And Courtney, yo,
this is probably going to play too late, but if you're in New York, you need to go see Stupid Face.
Oh, it is too late. It's like tonight.
Okay. Well, crap. But if she does it again and you live in New York, go see Stupid Face, yes. Starring Courtney Roche.
She's like our most talented and fabulous friend.
Love
we love
Courtney.
Her so much. Anyways, I remember her telling me all about the plot of it, and I was like, yo, that sounds trill.
Right.
So, anyways, we did a whole recital that was Chicago themed, and I sang Roxy and Nowadays.
Roxy Hart.
Yes.
Clearly you heard in that how the voice lessons didn't stick.
They didn't stick. But they did. Stick. I'm sure you could do it.
If I had like a little more alone time and some practice. But
anyway, so back to the plot.
If You're Good to Mama happens, which is the best song, and so Queen Latifah. Great. And she has that great line. She's like, if you're in any way uncomfortable or you need anything, don't shoot your fat ass out mouth off to me because I don't give a shit. She's like, oh, I love you.
I'm her. So Roxy's like, I didn't do anything. And she's like, yeah, I'm sure you didn't. I ain't never heard of a man getting killed when he didn't get exactly what was coming to him.
Yes. Oh. Okay. And then you meet Velma in prison, who is wearing the cutest prison headband. Mm. She is giving you Madewell Spring Summer 2017, wearing the neckerchief around her head.
She looks so cute.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, check it out, mama. An editorial denouncing me in Red Book Magazine. She says magazine.
She's so
And the
smart.
Way I wrote that was S. Z-H.
Yeah.
I.
Yeah.
Magazine.
She's so smoldery.
She's so smoldery. It's so good. And then they kind of jump straight into He Had It Coming, right?
Right. I did.
Which is the future liberals want.
Yeah. Amen, girl.
Every one of those girls is like, get it. I get it.
Trust. And I love the way that this is edited. Like when they
Craig,
show,
you're fine. I'm not going to kill you.
Like all these girls just like in the prison telling their stories and then like singing them. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I loved it. And you know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
Who's your favorite? Bubblegum or
Pop Six Squish, Cicero Lipschitz.
I think
I skipped Squish. Pop Six Squish, Cicero Lipschitz.
Okay, so Lipschitz is not my favorite.
No, me neither. It's either Squish or Pop for me.
I think it's Squish. Is that the one where he ran into my knife?
He ran into my knife ten times.
I love her. Yeah, Squish is my favorite. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you?
It's one of those two. It's either her or Pop. You know, some guys just can't hold their arsenic. I loved her.
So Pop.
Six. Squish.
What is six then?
Six wives.
Okay, and then Pop was, she just couldn't stand how he chewed his gum.
Popping his gum.
In all reality, Pop is probably like, if it were to ever happen, it'd be like, you eat like a caveman.
Yeah. Like, if I have to see you hold your knife that way one more time.
Right.
Anyway, so then we got to keep popping. We got to keep moving on because there's a lot of plot. So
it just goes by so quickly.
It does. Mama says something like, in this town, murder is an attainment. And she's like, you got to get Billy Flynn. He's the best lawyer for murder. And Billy Flynn. I have some thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
Okay, so I just wrote, I just don't like Richard Gere.
I don't either. And but the
why
thing
is he a sex symbol? He's got those beady rat eyes.
No, and the thought that he's a sex symbol is so gross to me about, like, our mom's generation, because it's like, hun, do better. Like, we are so spoiled on our Fassbenders and our Hardys and our Idris Elbas. Like, right. These dudes are, like, out here. They're giving it to you. They're
our Mahershala Ali's.
Our Oscar Isaacs. They're, like, they not only have to be cute, they have to, like, hustle, and they also have to, like, they know about the female experience. They at least have to try to know.
Right.
And I think that's, like, Richard Gere is just like, okay, whatever. He was a Buddhist and he was in Knights and Rodanthe. Like, there's not much about him that I think is cute. But you can pour your ice. It's fine.
I'm like, I also, okay.
All that ice fell out.
I also, this podcast I listened to, Pop Culture Happy Hour, one time they were talking about movie stars versus, mm-hmm.
Like actors. Them versus who's.
Well, not even that necessarily, but just like the idea of a movie star is kind of outdated.
It is, because someone who sells the movie just with their name.
Right. Like, there's still some, definitely. Like, you know, a Matt Damon, he's still a movie star.
He lends a lot of credibility, but like no one saw The Great Wall.
Correct.
In America, no one did.
Correct. But like,
but to a huge degree, they're not selling to America anymore.
Right.
These big studios, it's why like so many of them have fewer women, is because they're selling to international markets that are not necessarily on board with the Bechdel test or anything like that.
Which, like, by the way, the craziest thing I saw this week was a headline that said, Sofia Coppola doesn't know what the Bechdel test is.
Which is so funny because she's been passing it so easily.
With flying colors.
I've heard the term the female gaze ascribed to her movies, because it's like, it's a lot of them are so free of women performing for men.
And okay, I don't know if I mentioned this in our last podcast when we talked about Mona Lisa's Smile, but think about Kiki's oeuvre.
Yeah. She picks
She picks a lot of movies that pass the Bechdel test.
She was Tracy Flick.
She was Tracy Flick? No. That was not Tracy Flick, girl. That was Reese Witherspoon.
You're totally right.
I am. But I'm talking about, she was...
They're both our sisters, though. Like, Reese Witherspoon Sherman and
Kirsten
Dunst Sherman.
I truly feel such kinship to Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
I love her so much. Yeah. I will defend her. Not that she's ever done anything major problematic.
No, but whatever. A lot of people don't think she's a great actress, and also Elizabeth Town.
I still loved that movie though. At the time.
I didn't mind it much. You can top me off if you want.
But like, she was in Little Women. She was in Hidden Figures. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Hidden Figures yet.
Girl. Okay, we're gonna do an episode on that because it's so good.
I know we're gonna have to. And I love Janelle Monáe, and then I can't wait to tell my Janelle Monáe story in that.
Okay.
All this back to Chicago.
Let's get back to Chicago.
Okay. So Richard Gere, and then okay. So I'll say that, like, I talked about this with a friend. Like, who would you rather play Billy Flynn than Richard Gere?
And anybody.
She actually pretty.
George Clooney.
Answer. George Clooney would have been so good. I love him so much. And if it were now, Chris Pine would have rocked the shit out of that.
He's too young though. Still.
No, I don't know. He's a little celle poivre right now. We know that he can sing. We know he can dance and all this stuff.
I guess there's nothing that says Billy Flynn has to be like a salt and pepper type.
Right. Right. But like, her answer for that was Billy Zane.
Okay, true.
And I was like, yeah, I really like Billy Zane.
Let's dust Billy Zane off and bring him out.
Bring him out. There's a lot of people that would have been better at that. It's just like, yeah. Billy, like Richard Gere, it's one of the few things that's like me and anyone's Republican parents can agree on. It's like, there is a smarminess that I do not like about him.
And I just kept catching it. Like, there were times.
I will say, he did a good job. He did a good job. He sang. He did a good job. Like, it was all good.
Though, on the scenes that were him, I ended up like being either tuned out or like, I'm just going to fast forward this. I've seen it enough in my life. Cause like, I don't know. The one scene that I did love was when he's like, ladies and gentlemen, up tap dance. And he's like tapping.
Yes.
Like, his acting in the courtroom was great. I'm getting ahead of myself, but like, I just don't.
I like We Both Reach for the Gun though. That's a pretty fun song to me.
I just don't like him. There's something I don't like about him.
Well, there's an imminently punchable face because he was born with smug eyes. Mm-hmm. But there's also, I was on his Wikipedia page and it was like, he donated $2,200 to the Hillary Clinton campaign. It was like, really, Richard? $2,200? I could donate $2,200 to the Hillary Clinton campaign.
What in the world?
This is like, that's shit. Like, I read something today on Twitter that was like, if Republicans hate a woman enough, Democrats soon enough come around to hating her too, which is about the, like the Nancy Pelosi thing. And I don't want to get too political, but it's like, that's, I feel like what happened with Hillary is like people hated her enough that people were like, maybe she really is bad. Like, I think there's so many people like Richard were like, I don't know.
Hashtag we're still with her.
Right. We'll edit that out.
No.
Maybe we
about
won't.
Hillary?
I just don't want to start shit.
No, I don't care. I love her. I'm still with
okay.
her.
Okay. All this to say, Richard Gere.
But then also in that scene when he starts doing.
They both.
Is that the first one he did was the All I Care About Is Love.
I hate that song.
That song needed to be cut all the way out.
They should have cut that one out and brought Class back in.
Amen.
That was a bad. It still should have gotten the Oscar for editing, but that was a bad editing call.
Right. So. All caps, I just wrote Christine Baranski. Turn out.
I put X-Teen Baranski.
Love
Christine Baranski. I love Christine Baranski. I'm never not happy to see her. Anytime she shows up in a scene, I'm like, the party has started.
Do you know anyone who doesn't like her?
If I do, I'm not going to keep them in my life.
Like, I've never heard anyone say
she is
a bad
the queen.
Thing.
She is the queen. Like, she's the only reason I ever watched Sybil. Mm. Although, Sybil was fun. Can we just take a minute for the Sybil theme song? Ready? Loving one who loves you and then taking the vow. Nice work if you can get it. And if you get it. And then she goes, won't you tell me how? We watched that with mom all the time. And Christine Baranski was the best part.
She's the best part of everything.
I love her. And I'm actually really excited to talk about her character later because she plays a huge role in a lot of real life stuff.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yes.
So Amos, bless him, is trying to raise $5,000 for the defense because that's all. Oh,
Amos is so sad. Amos Billy is like wants. Who you are when you play Monopoly. Like every time we play Monopoly, Lindsay inevitably loses because she thinks it's RuPaul's best friend race and she doesn't make like shrewd business decisions and she yells at everyone when she doesn't do well.
And then
you play a sad game. If you're like, too much month left at the end of the money, guess I'm gonna have to sell my kids. Like, it's always like over the top. You look like a Depression era Dust Bowl photo. Like, you're out of control.
It's because my husband makes these like crazy decisions.
Yeah, because he's
Monopoly.
Senor Negocios and he like comes to win, and Lindsay is always like, can't we make this more of a feelings thing? And all the down on her luck, like a Depression era, like pennies from heaven, like kind of vibes are all like Lindsay does that in Monopoly, and it's all distilled into Amos.
Y'all, I'm a seven.
Listen, listen. Do not bring the Enneagram into
I'm
this.
I'm going to, because you, Craig, and Parker are all threes, which is like the achiever. So y'all are all like, I'm going to win this game. And I'm like, aren't we having fun? And then I end up so poor.
Lindsay's like, can I vacuum out your car for $3? Please. So sad.
So
she makes it. I every time I leave Monopoly with Lindsay, I feel so bummed out. And that's exactly how I feel every time Amos is on screen.
So Billy Flynn whips up this whole fake story for Roxy's life about how she came from this like beautiful Southern home. And Southern home. That's a read.
That's a read.
Of a person. Anyway, so what is it? I wrote this dummy track about them both reaching for the gun. It's not my fave, but you said you liked it.
I liked it. It's jaunty.
But then right after it is Roxy, which is my fave.
Roxy is a good song.
I love it.
And then that kind of signals like the turn. She becomes like a celebrity.
Mm-hmm. And Velma's like jealous
Velma's,
of her shine.
Velma's really jealous, and she tells Mama, and she has this really great line. She goes, I can't go anywhere without hearing about that dumb tomato. T apostrophe M-A-T-A. Tomato!
Me and Tomato want to hit the town.
So good.
Basically, Velma pitches Roxy on doing a double act with her. She's like,
and
I
then
can't do
she
it alone.
Does what I think is undeniably the worst song. It was like,
however,
we can do it together or something like that.
No, she's like, I simply can't do it alone.
Yeah, it's not a good song.
It's not a great song, especially when you're listening to it on the soundtrack, because it's like, we go, and then I go. But when you watch Renee do it.
The movie's good. And
like,
Renee,
all that tapping, girl.
Honestly, both of them have such like magnetic screen presences.
They're
like
so great.
That was such a good movie. But
I will say though, Renee Zellweger, as good as she is in this movie, cannot mm-hmm. hold a candle to her first on-screen singing debut, which is
Sugar High.
An Empire record.
Gotta have it, really need it to get by.
Gotta have it.
What is it? What she says? And she's like, I. And then she gets nervous and goes away for like 8 measures, and she's like,
far and wide.
It's so good. She's in that with movie. Mr. Coyote Shivers, who we'll get into more detail later because we have to move this plot along. But okay. I have so much to say about him.
So the pettiness betwixt Roxy and Velma is
so chilly. Good. It's like watching Untucked. She like Velma's. Well, okay, so Roxy's like, can you believe this? They sent me. Velma goes, can you believe this? They sent me caramels from San Francisco, and I think Roxy says, like, lay off the caramels.
Yeah, she goes, a tip for me to you, lay off the caramels.
I my note was, I would like to report a murder from one of these prison walls. That was the shadiest thing.
So it's shady.
Also, like, I never understand when skinny bitches, like call each other fat. I'm like, I guess I don't understand. Like, maybe you have a really, like, sniper eye for an extra pound, but for me, I think of things in chunks of 10 or 20. Like,
right. I wouldn't notice a friend of mine gaining or losing weight until, like, gets
not
to, like,
even remotely. And I feel very grateful that I live that life.
Right.
Yeah.
At this point, Lucy Liu comes in as the new hot man.
I forget that she's in this every time, and I'm mm-hmm. so happy when I see her.
She doesn't sing anything, and she has, like, 2 lines, if that.
No, but she has a face that I want to look at for a long time.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful.
Where is she, though?
Like a painting. Well, she was on the American version of Sherlock for a long time.
Okay, true. Okay.
Yeah, I like Lucy Liu a lot.
So at this point, Roxy's like, she's the new hotness, shoot. And so she faints and pretends
she's Pregnant.
Pregnant. Then I did also, right after this, is Mr. Cellophane, which is...
That's actually my least favorite song.
Super not my bag. And
personally, my least favorite.
It's a no for me, dog. I have a story about that song. So my senior year of high school...
It's a no for me, dog.
I guess my junior year of high school, my friend Sandy was on the yearbook staff. The
I
Caledonian.
Remember Sandy.
Yeah, the Caledonian.
I was on the Caledonian.
True. And she was reviewing the... maybe it was the movie or maybe it was the soundtrack of Chicago. I think she just did CD.
This was your senior year?
My junior year.
Oh,
so okay. She wrote...
This came out 2002, but...
Yeah, it was the fall of my junior year.
Okay.
So she wrote this thing that was like... Then there's this song about, like, cellophane or shrink wrap or something.
Reynolds wrap.
I don't really get it. And I was like, girl, at the time I was like, big girl, did you, like, really not get what you're trying to say? I think she was just trying to be, like, snarky, but I was like... It's not about cellophane.
Do you know, I wrote a bad review of, I can't even remember the guy's name. He was in that Beatles movie that was kind of bad.
Oh, that Jim.
Jim Hawkins?
That's not it at all.
Let me look it up. But he's in this movie called 21 about like people counting cards at blackjack.
The movie, the Beatles movie was Across the Universe.
Yes, yes. And actually, the soundtrack to that movie is perfectly fine, and Eddie Izzard had a great role in it. But he was in this movie about counting cards, and I...
Jim Sturgess.
I didn't think the movie was good because it wasn't good. And I wrote an article saying, like, this movie is not good. And this dude at school literally looked me in the eye and was like, I will kill you. I loved this movie. And I was like, well, dude... I have bad news. It was not good.
It's in print, bitch.
And this is also the thing that I love to, like, to use to date my time in high school on the Caledonian was that Kanye's album, the one that had Stronger on it, Graduation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. he put that out the same weekend as 50 Cent's album. And 50 Cent was like, if you beat me in sales, I'll quit rapping. And I remember even at the time being like, you know, Kanye's like going to be around for like 30 more years, right? And he's going to beat you. And, but then like, so we had this whole shtick where I reviewed Kanye's album and my friend reviewed 50 Cent's the same weekend. And it was like, we were going to follow up and see how the sales were. And Kanye like walloped him.
Of course.
I gave that album like an A+, and I was right because it was a great album.
Yeah. I remember my really cool professor, Dr. Brooks. It's like the second or third time I mentioned him on this podcast.
He's great.
I remember when Graduation came out, I was in his class and Fiona Apple's Extraordinary Machine. And he was like, he talked about both of those albums in class and was like, these people are geniuses. FYI.
Fiona Apple is legitimately a genius.
Yeah.
And I love that Kanye loves Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He was like, you've taught me so much about vocabulary, which is exactly how I feel. I have learned the words stentorian
from... I don't know that word.
It's like a strong, loud voice. I learned the phrase beyond the Rubicon from her. A lot of words I'm not even remembering now, but like Fiona Apple has moved my vocabulary along a lot.
Also, Extraordinary Machine is just a gorgeous
album. It's actually just a genius album, too. Like, but one thing I'll always remember about that, she has a song called Window where she goes, I had to break the window. Mm-hmm. Like, had to break it because it was like an argument between her former lover and his new woman. Mm-hmm. But I listened to it with mom a lot in the car, and she, because our mom is 10 years old, was always like, I always thought it was I had to break the wind, comma, oh. I was like, okay, Fiona Apple put her heart out there and you made a fart joke, mom. So I guess the genetics test came in. We are, in fact, related.
As it would happen.
As it you would are happen. Yeah. We don't need to do a swab anymore.
Oh, gosh. Oh, bless it. So, okay. Back to Chicago.
Every day is a winding road. I get a little bit closer.
Every day is a painted sign.
Lindsay's eyes got so tiny, she was laughing so hard at every day is a painted sign.
I hate that song.
Such a bad line. Oh, okay, so he's singing Mr. Cellophane, which we can agree is not good. And I also put a note that, like, on every Broadway soundtrack, there is at least one song that you're like, I don't feel good about this, but I'm skipping it. Like, you're a genius, but you made one mistake, which for me on the Hamilton soundtrack is Farmer's Refute.
Okay, mine on the Hamilton soundtrack is Say No to This. I can't do it.
Oh, Say No to This is also bad.
Here's why. Let me tell you exactly why. Hearing Lin-Manuel Miranda go, yes!
About sex.
In a sexual way.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. So
I hate in Farmer's Refute when he goes, and strangely, your mage is the same.
I actually kind of like Farmer's Refute. Is that bad?
Whatever.
Is that bad?
Well, I know the guy who sings it in the original stage version has terrible male bangs. And I'm always like, I don't want to hear you do it.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
So at this point in the film of Chicago, this poor Hungarian girl gets executed.
Oh, so sad. But the way they put that together was so artful.
It was beautiful. Like, it was like a ballet.
Yeah, that was actually like, I was like, okay, this movie has elevated itself to an art form. It was so good.
And it scares Roxy to going back to Billy, because I think they'd had like a falling out.
She thinks that she knows better than him.
Yeah, she'd gotten all high and mighty. And then he sings Razzle Dazzle, which I wrote again.
I don't like Razzle Dazzle.
Not my bag. Like, yeah. Razzle Dazzle.
I don't like it, but I say it a lot in my life, like in my day to day. Like, give them the old Razzle Dazzle, Razzle Dazzle.
Okay, so this line though.
What?
Maybe you can tell me what the hell he means by this.
I probably.
Give him the old fake and a finagle. Or should I give him a fake and a finagle? They'll never know you're just a bagel.
No, I don't. I don't know how to answer for that.
What does that mean?
That's stupid because they're like, I guarantee you Bob Fosse was like, what rhymes with finagle?
Bob Fosse didn't write this, girl.
Girl, actually, yes. The musical version, Bob Fosse did.
The choreographer, Bob Fosse, wrote the music.
The choreographer, Bob Fosse. I will go into this, but with several people, like, Bob Fosse was like the chief on top of this. Wow. He had been chasing down the rights to this musical for years.
Wow.
It wasn't a musical when he was chasing down the rights. I will get into that later, but that's like a lot of my notes.
Okay. So we'll get to the I'm at the very end of the plot.
Yes.
So poor Amos believes this whole...
The thing is, the plot just like zooms through in this movie.
Poor Amos like believes this whole pregnancy gag. And
also, I don't
want
to skip the line that like when Billy Flynn gives her that terrible dress to wear, she goes, that'll make me look like a Woolworth's lampshade.
True.
So good.
So at Roxy's trial...
Before Roxy's trial, Billy Flynn pulls him in and is like, I don't want you to be embarrassed because this baby's totally not yours.
Oh, okay.
But he's so because like she went on record saying like they hadn't had sex like 4 months prior to her arrest.
Wow.
And the baby was like somehow the math. I don't know about her time in prison. It's like in Orange is the New Black where you really have no idea how long Piper's been there. But like it was like one of those things where like, yeah, somehow the math didn't add up that he could be the father.
Bless
him. And so Billy Flynn's like doing some weird like mental like 12th dimensional chess with him.
Oh, he's doing so much of that. Like this whole thing. So he does this whole crazy thing where he's like, first of all, Roxy fake passes out on the stand for sympathy twice. And she stole Velma's garter and the glass of water gag. And Velma's like listening to the trial on the radio mm-hmm. with Mama Morton. At this point, they cut out what is the best song, which is Class. And so then Velma takes a plea deal with like the prosecution, I guess. But really, Billy has kind of arranged the whole thing. And she reads a forged diary entry from Roxy's diary
yeah.
on the stand as a prosecution witness. And it's very clearly forged because she's using like way too big of words, like erroneous. Like Roxy doesn't use those words. And Billy's like kind of, you know, pull the strings on the whole thing and ends up in doing so, killing two birds with one stone. He gets Velma off because she's, you know, working with prosecution as a witness. And then he gets Roxy off because she's found innocent. And then she's like, sweet, I've got the shine on me. And like seconds later, like literally seconds later, another woman shoots someone on the sidewalk outside. And Roxy's 15 minutes is up. And then she is auditioning for all these shows. And, you know, basically people are like, did she kill someone a while ago? Mm-hmm. Who can keep them straight? There's all these jazz right. killers. So she and Velma run back into each other. Velma's trying to, you know, play it really cool, act like she's fine. And then she bends over and Roxy can see that her stockings are in disrepair as well.
Which, if you met me in college, you'd assume I was very well, like, you know, hard on my luck. Because
who can keep their...
Your tights.
Your right? tights are gonna rip, dude.
It's fine, bruv.
Right. So then they decided that they're going to do a show together. And there is... The movie ends with an extended...
I do love when they shoot the lights out.
Okay, but... Queen, I just wrote this dance gag with these prop machine guns is
it's a bit long. It's like we get it
goes it. On and on.
We
and
get it, but the thing is, like, people in the '20s were so easily amused. If you think about whatever happened to Baby Jane, like people bought tickets to see this little girl sing, like I'm writing a letter to Daddy, which people still buy tickets to see Lana Del Rey do that. Oh, that was a burn.
That was a sick burn. I will say I was very amused by their amazing
I do like Lana.
Fur coats.
They looked great. They looked great, but I think like part of me, I wondered this a little bit because it's almost like the spinning top at the end of Inception. Like you see Matron Mama Morton out in the audience. It's like
Matron Mama Morton's not a prisoner, honey. She just like works at the jail.
I thought she was just the head prisoner.
No, girl. She's the matron.
Oh, so she's like a CO.
Yeah.
Okay.
She like runs the place.
Okay.
And then, but Billy Flynn's like, oh.
Yeah. And girls. The weird thing is too, is like, and one thing I don't like about it is his really patriarchal relationship to them. Cause it's like he has them wrapped around his finger and I don't like it. I assumed like there's enough chemistry, like maybe he'll end up with one of them, but no, not really. He's just a playboy. No.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about this movie is like no one has any like tight interpersonal relationships. No one's feelings are going to get hurt. You're never going to actually get involved in anyone's feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here is the thing in my research of this that I accidentally stumbled on that blew my mind.
What?
Did you know that both Roxy and Velma are based on real people?
Who?
I'm going to get to it. And then also Christine Baranski is, in real life, was a Chicago Tribune reporter who wrote a play based on these two women.
Is that what the Chicago thing is?
Yeah, so she wrote a play called, I don't know if it was called Chicago. I'll just look that up. But so she wrote this play. It did super well. And for years, Bob Fosse tried to buy the rights and she refused.
Mm.
So this woman... her name was Maureen Dallas Watkins
okay.
and she was like a big Christian and she used all her money to like basically set up like theology schools at like Princeton and shit. But, I think she died in the '60s, early '60s, but around the '40s, her fortune at the time was like, 2.3 million. And I ran that through the inflation calculator. She was worth $31 million.
Good for her, honey.
Good for her. So she wrote about, she was a writer. She actually got into one of the Ivy League schools to study playwriting. But then she just took a job in the Chicago Tribune. Now at the time, this was legitimately like the political atmosphere was like, women who were beautiful, who killed people, like they became celebrities.
So jazz killer, that was like a real
thing. Jazz killer was a real thing. So Roxy is based on this person named Beulah Anon.
Come on, Beulah.
Beulah, yes. And so she, like, was from Owensboro, Kentucky, like, totally married a mechanic, and she killed a boyfriend. And, like, she got off on it. It was insane, but, like, she ended up dying pretty young at the age of 28 of tuberculosis.
That's a
shame. And then Velma was based on, and this was, like, such, like, Maureen barely took any efforts to change her name. It was based off of Belva Gartner, who is actually fascinating, and I would encourage you all to look her up. Gartner is spelled G-A-E-R-T-N-E-R.
Gartner.
And she, like, married the same man over and over again. And, like, when she was with him, she killed her boyfriend, and she got off, and then she ended up doing, like, a jazz review. And, like, they didn't do one together, but it was, like, this... Maureen saw all this, and she was like, these women are very clearly guilty, but they're using celebrity to, like...
Yeah.
To...
We don't know anything about that in the modern time.
Well, and, you know, I was thinking about that, because I think that, like... And I'm so much... like the same, I'm guilty of this to the max of, like, getting in my head and feeling really like the world has really gone to shit. Like, I can't believe that the Cash Me Outside girl is, like, monetizing on this. But when you think about it, that girl, like, she was disrespectful to her mom and she's making some money. These women murdered their boyfriends.
Right.
And they, like, made careers out of it.
That's true. I guess, okay, I was just thinking about, like, celebrity people getting off mm-hmm. of, like, murder trials mm-hmm. or whatever, because I was like, ugh, like, OJ.
Yeah.
Or even, like, as we speak, like, just 3 or 4 days ago, Bill Cosby had, like, a mistrial.
Yeah, and he treated the whole thing like a joke.
Right.
Totally. Yeah, he walked in, like, he literally came in one day and said, hey, like, you raped, like, 60 women.
Yeah, you're a piece of garbage.
Right.
Like, whatever. So, anyways, but yeah, I guess we don't really have people that, like, necessarily, like, commit a crime and become famous for that crime.
We don't embrace them in the frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it seemed like in the movie they made it seem like, oh, everyone loves Roxy. But it's like, in our minds, we don't want to embrace them because we think we're morally superior. But mm-hmm. in the, like, the id of us that keeps, like, watching these things and giving them views and everything, it's like, we do eat this up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
It's like, okay. You know, the nothing is new under the sun sort of thing.
It's, gosh, that is the absolute truth.
It's really worth repeating, like, to yourself over and over.
I think that all the time. Like, I think I told Jenny right after the election, our friend Jenny is a historian. She, like, mm-hmm. works at the Texas History Museum. And she, you know, obviously has read, like, deeply and widely about, like, everything that has happened in the U.S. for, like, the last 270 years. And then some. And I was asking her for some recommendations for books about times when our politics have just been, like, corrupt to hell and back. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, it would just be comforting for me to know. Like,
that we've gotten through it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That people have lived through it before. I just looked up Chicago original Broadway cast.
Oh, Bebe Neuwirth. She won a Tony for it.
Oh, no, honey. The original was 1975.
Oh, never mind.
With Cheetah Rivera.
Oh my gosh. I made a note about this.
Do you know who played Billy Flynn?
Who?
Jerry Orbach.
Shut up. Cheetah Rivera is in that movie. Did you know that?
And as who?
She's, and I knew, like, even when I saw her, I was like,
I really
this
have
is.
No opinion.
Oh, sorry. Siri just really let me have it.
I knew that it was going to be like, special guest role because there's panned in on her for a while, but Cheetah Rivera is the one who's like introduces Matron Mama Morton.
Yes.
And then I wanted to make a note because I went to Cheetah Rivera's Wikipedia after that. Her full name is Dolores Conchita Figueroa del Rivero.
Good for her, honey. She's really good on something right now.
She took her masculine last name and turned it into a feminine. Okay.
I live for that.
It's like if I was like Molly Sherwoman Dunn Woman.
I live for that.
Molly Sherwoman Dunn Woman.
She's on a TV show now, isn't she?
I don't know. I didn't think that.
Did I make that up?
I don't know if she's even with us anymore.
No, she's still alive.
Are you ready to plug it up?
Yeah. Okay, let's plug it up, bitch.
All right. Catch us next week. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I'll tell you, but you'll be able to easily stream it on Netflix or Hulu.
Trust.
Bye.
Y'all stay blessed.
Stay blessed.